Amen. Thank you, community choir. Well, good morning. I don't know if we've said that yet. Good morning. It's good to see you all. Good morning to those of you who are joining us via live stream this morning. It's good to have you with us. My name is Josh Madrinsky, if I haven't got the chance to know you. I and my wife, Rebecca, who has sat down. We tried to hold the fort down here at St. Giles, and so we're glad that you're with us this morning for Palm Sunday. We've been going through a series in the Psalms, praying the Psalms, and we're going to continue to do that this morning. But we're gonna do this together because this morning we're entering into a psalm that really would have been very liturgical in its nature. There would have been somebody leading and the people responding. And so we're going to turn to Psalm 118 this morning. But you don't have to open your Bible because what I'm going to ask you to do is stand up. So would you stand? And we're going to read this responsively this morning, really the way it should have been intended to be read or sung. And as we do so, there's a reason we're on Psalm 118 this morning. I want you to pay attention for some familiar quotes in Psalm 18. Are we ready? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say,
his love endures forever.
Let the house of Aaron say,
his love endures forever.
Let those who fear the Lord say,
his love endures forever.
Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You've become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. And we continue. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Lord Jesus, we give thanks to you this morning. We give thanks for your word. We declare it, Lord, we declare it into the earth. You are good. You are good. This Palm Sunday, as we look at these words, Lord, teach us what it means to be thankful, what it means to lean deeply into who you really are, that gratitude is the natural response of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated. That was pretty good. I feel like you all have done this before. That was strong. Well done. Well done. Each week we've had a different type of psalm, genre of psalm. And if you didn't pick up on it, this is a psalm of thanksgiving. Now, one could say Palm Sunday was kind of the return of the king, right? Here he comes. We're going to turn to some other literature, Return of the King, to address a piece here, because one of the great Christian debates of the past 75 years has been which character in Lord of the Rings is supposed to be the Christ character, right? Okay, it may be a debate in some of the nerdier circles of Christianity in the last 75 years, but nevertheless, debate stands, because you've got so many wonderful characters that J.R.R. Tolkien wrote into the Lord of the Rings, and they're all, you kind of feel gospel-y in their own rights. You've got Aragorn, right? The literal humble king that comes, right? You've got Gandalf, the prophetic priestly type. But then you've got the obvious one, Frodo, right? The sacrificial lamb who's running to Mount Doom to take away the evil of the world. This is all feeling kind of gospel-y, right? Who is it? Which one is it? I just want to muddy the waters this morning and add one more name to the group. One more name. I heard it. Samwise. Samwise. Yes! Raise your hand. Thank you. I knew it was you. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. Samwise, the steadfast, loyal friend of Frodo, who goes through everything with him, everything, refuses to leave his side. Even when Frodo is deceived and sends him away, quite rudely, Samwise doesn't give up on his friend. He stays in the distance and actually winds up saving his life. He's steadfast. He's faithful. A faithfulness that just exceeds expectations. And of course, if you've read the book or you're familiar with the movie, both of them have this beautiful moment. This is the movie's depiction of it. The book has made it clear. This is Frodo's quest alone. He has to be the one that goes and saves the world, essentially. But there comes a point where he can no longer go, physically depleted. And there's this great line where Sam says to him, "Mr. Frodo, I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you." And it's this character of Samwise, it stands out so brilliantly in the story because he has this steadfast faithfulness. Frodo doesn't deserve it. I mean, Tolkien writes that in so clearly. He doesn't deserve it. And yet, he never gives a reason for why Sam is such a good friend. It's actually just his character. It's just his character. He is just faithful. So faithful. It's the kind of faithfulness that exceeds expectations in much of the same way as we're beginning Holy Week on this Palm Sunday. We have to see the one whose steadfast, loving faithfulness is so amazing that it eternally exceeds our expectations of what a Savior is. And so because of that, it roots us in thanksgiving. That's why we're in Psalm 118, is we're really celebrating the one whose steadfast faithfulness exceeds our expectations, right? Psalm 118, being a psalm of thanksgiving, the theme of it is God's steadfast love. Did you pick up on that? You know, right out of the beginning, it's this call and response. You know, let all of Israel say, "His love endures forever." Just back and forth. But then the very last line here, what did we say? "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." His what? His love endures forever. Some folks are familiar with this Michael Card book. He wrote a great book on this. But it's this Hebrew word right there that we occasionally hear, hesed. Hesed. Is anyone familiar with this word, hesed? It's the steadfast, covenantal, enduring love of God. It's only used for God. It's that love that never gives up, no matter what. It pursues us. It exceeds our finite expectations of what love is. And what's so neat about Psalm 118 is that it's part of a group of psalms, Psalm 113 through 118, called the Egyptian Hallel. I don't see Kirsten here anymore. She's being our native Egyptian. Does anyone know why they're called Hallel? Because of the repeated use of the word hallelujah, which means praise God. Did you see, even in our psalm today, praise God, all of them, the focus is on praising God. And these would have been psalms that would have been sung as a group in kind of the high worship times, especially the week of Passover, which is the week of Holy Week, right? Now, throughout this sermon series on Psalms, we've been reading these Psalms, praying these Psalms, but in practice, they were both prayed and sung. And there's this wonderful band Rebecca and I discovered a couple years ago. They're a Messianic Jewish band. In other words, they're Jewish in ancestry, but they're believers in Christ. And what they did is they took all these different psalms and they put them to kind of a contemporary Middle Eastern music, and they sing them in Hebrew. And there's something about hearing a psalm sung in Hebrew. It just grabs you, especially this one. And so I'm going to play about just shy of a 2-minute clip of this young Messianic Jewish band singing parts of Psalm 118. Are you ready? If anybody has the spiritual gift of Middle Eastern dancing, we expect you to exercise it at this point, okay? All right, so here we go. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, next week we're singing it. Ready?
Yeah.
All right. Now, maybe you felt the same thing. I don't know. That last verse, just lost my train of thought there. The cornerstone verse. Something about hearing that saying in Hebrew, it added this weight to it, where you realize the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. These are words that have been echoed for centuries, millennia. I don't know why. Hearing it in Hebrew, there's just something about it that grabs my imagination. And the way they chose to do it, that song, it felt joyful, right? But it kind of feels triumphant, doesn't it? I mean, I can just imagine just the image you get is, This is the return of the king. This is the stone the builders rejected. He's taking his place. This Thursday will be Maundy Thursday. Of course, we'll read about the Last Supper and the foot washing. But in Matthew's gospel, which is not the gospel we'll do, but in Matthew's gospel, maybe you've noticed this before, at the very end of this scene, it says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Do you ever wonder what they sung? It was Psalm 118. It would have been the conclusion of the Hallel. They would have sang, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, right before they go to the Mount of Olives. I don't know if you noticed when we read it earlier, but there's another very significant quote taken from Psalm 18. Did you see it? Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. We've been saying it all morning, but what's the Hebrew way to say, save us? Everybody look straight to the back. See? Yeah, that's what the kids made that this week. The banner. Yeah, let's say it together. Ready? Hosanna! Hosanna! That's right. The same Hosanna we've been singing all morning. The same Hosanna that we get in Mark 11. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches and they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. During the triumphal entry, as Jesus rides in on the foal of a donkey, the people who gathered around, waving palm branches that week of Passover, they sang the song they'd been singing all week. They sang Psalm 118 as Jesus entered Jerusalem. The final song of the Hallel, Hosanna, save us. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And they, I do not doubt, were celebrating with shouts of triumph and joy, right? But of course, what kind of Savior did they think they needed? Military, national leader, right? They say it right here, blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. They're looking for that nation of Israel coming, right? They want a Savior who would address the biggest, baddest problem that all of Israel had, and we know who that was, right? The Romans, yeah. And so they essentially welcome him, arms right open through the front gate. Blessed is he who comes to kick the butt of the Romans, right? Blessed is he who comes to take care of my biggest problems. That's who they thought the Messiah would be. The guy who would get them back to the glory days of David. And the complicated reality is that they weren't entirely wrong. Jesus really did come to take care of their biggest problem. But the complication was they didn't know what their biggest problem was, did they? The Jewish people thought that they were missing out on the blessings of God because there was a giant nation in their way. But the truth is, it's the biggest problem they had to being close to God, is there was giant what? Sin. There was giant sin in their way, and there was nothing they could do to change it. There was nothing they could do to change it. You see, they wanted a victory over the Romans, but Jesus came to give them a victory over sin and death. The Jewish people thought that they were missing out on these blessings, but they were the ones standing right there in the way of them. They wanted a God that would love their nation, but they got a God who loves more than just their nation, for God so loved the whole world, right? They wanted a warm, fuzzy heart of victory, like those of us who were watching March Madness last night. But they got a God who longs to give them completely new hearts and a new spirit. They wanted a God who would dwell in their temple forever. But they got a God who would not be confined any longer by a temple. He would dwell with them, always, in them. They wanted a God who they could convince, save us, save us. But they got a God who decided before the foundation of the world, I will save them no matter what it takes. Because you see, they wanted a God who was a fighter, right? A God who was a fighter. But you know what they got? They got a Savior who's richly, mercifully, graciously, lovingly, and eternally. Not a fighter, but faithful. He's faithful, so exceedingly faithful that he would take our place on the cross and die the death we were supposed to die so that all who believe in him shall not die, but have everlasting life. That's why we sing Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love, his steadfast, covenantal, exceedingly faithful love endures forever. Brothers and sisters, as we enter into Holy Week, this is day one. We step into it. This is a week of savoring his faithfulness to you. savoring his faithfulness. And it is a faithfulness that still to this day is exceeding our expectations. It goes beyond our heart's desires. For some of us this week, I think singing Psalm 118 is going to be a song of joy, right? Blessed is the Lord. Blessed is the Lord. And I hope it is. I hope it's just all week long, the Lord just keeps showing you his faithfulness in remarkable ways, right? And I encourage you, if you do nothing else on Holy Week, just every morning, thank God for his faithfulness, right? Let it be joyful. Even as we move into Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, you know, that's not a time of guilt and shame. That's a time of God's faithfulness. That's why we celebrate. That's why it's called Good Friday. I think for some of us, though, this Holy Week is not going to feel encouraging. Doesn't feel triumphant because it's a hard week. It's a challenging season of our lives. And yet, I still want to encourage you. Sing parts of Psalm 118. Sing Hosanna. Hosanna. Lord, save me. Save me. I can't do it. I need you. Would you enter into this? And do so with the confidence of the one who knows what it means to be the stone that the builders rejected but now has become the cornerstone. He truly is exceedingly faithful. He will not abandon you. He is with you. He is with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you really are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Oh, Jesus, you are the exceedingly faithful one, so faithful that you really did stop at nothing. Stop at nothing for us. Thank you. Thank you. We praise you. We praise you. We bless your name. But we don't stop praying Hosanna. We don't stop praying Hosanna. Lord, there's still much in this world that needs your touch, that needs your wholeness. And so we ask, King of Kings, ride into our lives, ride into our neighborhoods, ride into this very world. Would your faithfulness exceed our expectations, and would you help us to set our hearts and minds on those things that you desire and you alone. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us first. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.